children, and it's so wonderful to sing of that and have that confidence that He is with us no matter what we go through. And that confidence and trust is what gets us through in some very difficult times. It really would be unfathomable for somebody to reject that, maybe especially after worshiping together, being a part of a good, solid church ministry where they have experienced the blessings of being with God's people, hearing God's word, and yet to walk away from that and not be moved. And yet that happens very often sometimes in churches all over in the body of Christ. There are those who are acting as if they're believers, and yet they really don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ at all. And as we finish up the Sermon on the Mount, we're in, Jesus covers some very sobering truths, and this is one of those tonight. And we're going to be looking tonight. We're going to be finishing up the Sermon on the Mount next Sunday morning, and then on into the book of Ephesians. I'm looking forward to that study. But as I was preparing for this, I did think, you know, there was a time in my life where I really enjoyed a good mystery, and maybe you still do. Good mystery, Agatha Christie, there's many, many authors out there that write. And you know, what makes a good mystery in the end? When the author is able to fool you and surprise you with who did it in the end, right? And some are better at that than others. But it's like when he reads a book, he can't stand it. He many times will jump to the end and read it and then go back and read the rest. I'm like, well, why would you go back and read the rest if you know how it happened at the end? And yet, what makes a mystery effective? It's many times the person who's done it is the one you would least expect. And at the end, you say, wow, I thought that they were the good person. I thought that they were the one in the story that was the one that could least do something like that. And Jesus is going to be telling us today about the nice villains, so to speak. They're the hidden enemies of God's kingdom. And they're the people that we always have to be on guard for. There are wolves in God's family, amongst church people, amongst godly Bible-preaching churches. There are wolves. There are hidden enemies amongst God's people. There could even be some in a small church here like Village Chapel Baptist Church. Those that desire to be seen as God's children, they want people to think that they are, but only for the purposes of fulfilling their own selfish, evil intentions. Could that be? Jesus says it certainly is possible. In fact, those people are the most dangerous kind of villain, so much more dangerous than somebody in a fictional story, because their actions could turn other people away from the truth of Jesus Christ and have eternal consequences. So we need to be on the lookout for these. And Jesus is going to point these out to us tonight. Let's begin in verse 15 of chapter 7 and read through verse 23. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Lord, these are sobering words, sobering verses, and yet help us to understand the truths. Help us to be careful, to look out for these that would try to turn others astray from the glorious truth of the gospel. Help us as well to be aware of the possibilities of someone that would come in and take those that are not saved and draw them away from Jesus Christ. Help us to be on the lookout, to be aware, and help us to promote and stand fast for the gospel that you have given us in your word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to be faithful and remain firm in proclaiming it and accurately and boldly to our world today. For it is in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Enemies of God's kingdom can even be among the church of God. And Jesus is soberly pointing this out to the people, to his disciples, for them to take note of this. And he's pointing out, even as we get into this, that there are false prophets. There are those that would act like they represent Jesus Christ. They represent God. And yet they have no desire to follow God. They're only there to lead people astray. The enemies of God's kingdom will deceive others. And that's how one of the reasons we can know them. Again, the big picture of the Sermon on the Mount is the kingdom of heaven, kingdom citizens, citizens of God's kingdom versus the kingdom of the world that's ruled temporarily by Satan. And the battle and the fact that we as God's children should be acting like children of light, should be acting like kingdom citizens, because the battle is real. And it is sobering, and we do have to be ready, on the lookout, because it truly is a battle where there is eternal consequences at stake, and the enemies, the people on the other side, can be very deceitful as they go through life. And Jesus says we need to be careful. These false prophets are leaders who would literally come along and try to disguise themselves and draw people away. They disguise themselves is God's messengers. Let's look again at verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now that's quite the picture, isn't it? Jesus is painting this intense picture. If you've ever seen in a movie, angry wolves closing in on their prey, it's not a pretty sight. And the growling and the teeth bared and that intensity. And Jesus says, literally, there are teachers, there are people out there that would promote themselves as God's servants that are literally ready to drag away prey. And there are false teachers in every generation, by the way. In Jesus' time, as he's warning them there, in the time as Matthew, the apostle, was writing the book of Matthew, many decades later, they were facing false teachers and false prophets that he was warning people of through Jesus' message. Paul warned people of this as well. And even today, we still have false prophets and leaders that would purposely bring people astray from the gospel, from the truth of God's word, even today. And Jesus says, be vigilant. These false prophets, these teachers that would many times teach just enough truth to make it sound right. It echoes back to that scene in the garden, doesn't it? Satan, not necessarily saying that everything that God said was wrong, but putting questions in the mind of Adam and Eve and got this whole thing started as they disobeyed God and trusted in themselves and in the serpent's lies. There are still teachers that follow after the serpent, Satan. And they come to question, put questions in people's minds about the truth of God's word. And they're ravenous wolves. Their purpose is to tear people apart spiritually, to destroy their lives. What could be more destructive than bringing someone who is close to trusting in Jesus, to turning them to another direction to where they will face eternal destruction forever? How much more vicious and destructive can you be? And yet these teachers are ready to do that. and they hide their true intentions so that it's hard to tell who they are. And as we think about that, then we might say, well, what do we do? How do we find these teachers? How do we find so that we can drive them away and protect the flock? Well, Jesus says, verse 16, you shall know or you shall recognize them by their fruits. Then he gives some illustrations. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Jesus is giving us a picture here. And what this is referring to, there were in Palestine and in Israel, there were all kinds of thorn bushes and thistle plants. And maybe you can think of some briar plants and different things that do sprout some sort of berry or fruit that looks like fruit. And you know, if you have young kids, you have to explain to them early on what berries you eat and what berries you don't, and pray that they don't get anything that's poisonous, right? Because it looks like something many times that might be edible and that might be helpful. And they had this in this time as well. There were thorn bushes that grew deceiving berries that from a distance could almost look like grapes. And flower blossoms as well from thistle plants could grow as well. But the closer you got to those plants, from a distance it was hard to tell. The closer you got to them and the closer you examined them, it was pretty obvious these were not what you thought they were. And so Jesus says, we need to be vigilant. We need to be careful. We need to be observant. And you will be able to tell at some point the truth from the false teaching. This fruit that we're supposed to look for, it does include outer actions. But those people are very good at hiding their actions for a while, not forever. But it also includes the inner person. This person is thoroughly corrupt, thoroughly has rebelled against God and wants to take others with him. And so we need to be vigilant because they're so deceptive and they've disguised themselves. How do we expose them? We look, again, Jesus continues on here in verse 17. We look at them carefully and see if they're erring from God's kingdom rules in any respect. From God's kingdom teaching, from God's kingdom rules. Are these false prophets and teachers erring from what God has plainly told us in his word? That's one of the reasons it's so important to be in a church that preaches God's word accurately. Because as a pastor, I want you to know God's word well enough that when you encounter one of these false teachers, or even those that have questions about God's word, that you know it well enough that you're able to answer, that something goes off in your head. Wait, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't match up with what God's word says. We need to know God's word well as kingdom citizens. And then we can be more observant and see eventually the bad fruit that comes out. Verse 17, even so, every good or healthy tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a diseased tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. It's really simple. And many of you that have cultivated fruit trees in the past, you would totally understand this. I've talked with some of you. But the goal is to get good fruit. And if there's not good fruit, if there's no fruit at all from your fruit tree, or it's rotten or diseased, then you know that that tree is not healthy and it's not productive. The same thing in the lives of these false teachers is that we need to look at the big picture, not just listening to their words. Many times they're very eloquent. Many times they're very moving. But we need to look at their whole scheme of life to not just follow them in a shallow way, but really examine their lives. And sooner or later, Jesus says, you'll see the fruit. You'll see if it's good fruit, healthy fruit. Or you will see indication that these people are not what they say they are. A false prophet is exposed by their poor fruit or their total lack of true ministry fruit at all. You see, sooner or later, Jesus is pointing out here, their basic evil nature will show itself because it's in their nature. The only fruit they can produce is rotten or no fruit at all. So Jesus says here to be vigilant. We will know their true nature at some point. It will be revealed, but we have to be on guard. As God's people, we have to be careful because these people are so good at deceiving others. There's two passages along these lines that are helpful for us as good reminders, and one is in the book of Acts, chapter 17. You don't have to turn there. Paul and Silas are on their first missionary journey, and they come to this small town of Berea. You remember the story? And these people in Berea are called blessed and honored for something that they do. Verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night away into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why is that? In that they received the word, God's word, with all readiness of mind, ready to soak it in, but then not just soaking it in, but afterward then searching the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Do you realize these Bereans actually listened to the Apostle Paul and went back their Bibles to fact-check him? Fact-check the Apostle Paul. What kind of arrogant can these people be? Well, the Bible doesn't say that they're arrogant at all. And would Paul have been offended by that? Certainly not. That's exactly what Paul wants them to do. He doesn't want them to just take his word without looking it up and researching it and fact-checking him. He wants them in God's word. And so these people were considered honorable because they were willing to do that, making sure that what Paul was saying was in line with what God had said. Now for leaders today, including myself, there were people that were willing to do that for the Apostle Paul, then leaders, and myself included, should want and expect people to do that today. I can tell you, I will never be offended if you come up to me and say, Pastor Brock, I went to God's word again and I read that passage this week after you preached, and you know what? You lined up pretty well with what the Bible said. I just want you to know I was checking on that. I would not be offended by that. Why do you have to check on that for? Wasn't I clear enough in my message last week? No, I would rejoice. That's what I want to do, is to, as you're hearing, draw you back to Scripture. I want that accountability. And I want, if for some reason that you see something that I've missed, I'm only human. Even though I've studied these passages a lot, and I enjoy that, and I thrill, what a wonderful thing it is to be able to study God's Word on a weekly basis, and have that as one of my primary job descriptions. You can't get better than that. I love that. But I'm human. Sooner or later, I'm going to get something wrong, or I'm going to mess something up. What a wonderful thing it is for somebody to come by and say, I studied that too. Have you considered this? Oh, yeah. We all need accountability. And certainly with what Jesus is saying here, that would be appropriate even to do for your pastor and for other leaders. They need that accountability. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 makes it very clear. What does he say? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. John says, be careful. Test everything you hear. We have a cynical society today that doubts everything that it hears, which there's some positive aspects to that, especially with the media the way it is and the lack of truth and deceit. Boy, you have to be careful as you're taking in the news, and you have to do research and make sure that you have an understanding and make sure that it's accurate, because it's so hard. We shouldn't take things at face value. And the same thing with the teaching of God's Word. Make sure what you're hearing, whether from me or from a guy on the radio or from your favorite pastor, even while you're on vacation or whatever, make sure that it matches up with God's Word, because we must be constantly vigilant. Why, again, is this so important? Because people, leaders that preach this way, that are deceptive and that are trying to draw people away from Jesus Christ, they will have an end. And it's not pretty. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by your fruits you shall know them. Ultimately, those leaders that are purposely trying to draw people away from the gospel and lead people away from Jesus Christ, they will have their end. And we want to be vigilant because we want to keep people from following that same end and having that same punishment at the very end of their lives. And so even in our church, we need to be vigilant to make sure, as even if somebody's telling us about something that they've heard and it doesn't measure up with what the gospel says, or something they've been reading and we think, that's not the gospel. Let me explain this to you. This is what God's word says, because I want you to be sure that you're following the truths of the gospel and of God's word. We need to take time to do that because the end is so sobering. And we want people not to have this end where they're cut down and cast into the fire. And I think we all know this, right? The fire here is referring to the eternal fires of hell. A vivid picture. Those trees and those things that we cultivate in our gardens that just aren't producing fruit eventually will get cut down and burned or thrown away or whatever. They'll have an end because they're not useful. And we want to guard and to protect people from this end and following these people. So enemies of God's kingdom will deceive others. You can count on it. So be vigilant. Look about you. And you may keep somebody from being deterred from Jesus. And you, God may use you to keep them from the same end that those false teachers are headed towards. Then he continues on here, and this again is very sobering. The enemies of God's kingdom, they may be able to deceive us sometimes. They may be able to deceive other people out there, but they will never deceive God. Jesus is not deceived. And I think in context here, Jesus is now referring to the followers of these false prophets. And they're in for a surprise one day, and it's why we need to be vigilant. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful or mighty works? See, not all who do good are citizens of God's kingdom, are they? Not all who do good deeds will find themselves in heaven one day. And they may be deceived, thinking maybe they thought they were on the right side and the whole time they were on the wrong side. And their end will come, Jesus says here. He refers to them as saying, Lord, Lord. Well, what does that mean? It's a Jewish title of immense respect for a teacher that was used constantly at this time. If you referred to somebody as a Lord, you referred to them that way, you were saying, you are my respected teacher. What you have to say is good. But for the Christians, they intensified that to another level entirely, and that became an expression of humility before one's ruler. When a Christian, when a child of God, when a kingdom citizen would say, Lord, to Jesus, they were saying, I have humbled myself before you. And then it's repeated. And when it's repeated, we know that that means a particular emphasis and expression. And really, that emphasizes then the importance of the title, and it's a Christological profession. In other words, a disciple that would say, Lord, Lord, is saying, Jesus, you are my Lord. You are God, and I serve you. And could there be people then that profess that title for Jesus and still not be real and still let it be a false profession? Jesus says, certainly, it can. these works that he refers to here, these mighty works. First of all, he talks about prophecy that they had done, exorcism, and miracles. All of these things are in this list of things that these false servants bring up before Jesus. We've prophesied. We've cast out devils. We've been involved in exorcism. We've done other things as well that should prove to you, Jesus, that we're on your side. Well, I could think of a passage of Scripture that kind of brings this all around together. Because even Jesus and his disciples, do you remember when Jesus told his disciples, now you go out in my power and you do these things? And they were on that list, prophesying, good works, all these things. And the disciples went out and did those things. Did all 12 of the disciples end up in heaven? No, there was one, Judas Iscariot, who even though he was doing good things, in the end he was a fake. He had given a false profession and made it obvious in the end to all. Now if that can happen to Judas, can that happen to somebody in Village Chapel Baptist Church? Can that happen in Christianity today? Somebody who is acting for whatever reason, they have their own motives for acting like they're a believer and doing things that God has called us to do and try and obeying him, but for the wrong motives, and they really don't love Jesus at all, they're not a true disciple. It can happen today. I think of the many, many cults that we encounter in our culture today, and not to just pick on one, but just some things that come to mind. The Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. I've heard many people say, well, they're good people. They're so nice. And they are. I've met some people that consider themselves Mormons, consider themselves Jehovah's Witness. I think we may even have some neighbors down the road that may be Scientologists. They seem like nice people. People can be really nice and headed, as we told you this morning, down the wrong road. Because what they believe about Jesus is warped. They may have good works. They may do good things. They may be the nicest people that you know. Which is, by the way, a poor testimony for Christians if that's the case. They may very well be good people, but they've embraced a theology that is twisted and false and will send them one day to eternal torment in a place called hell. Many times it has to do with, they may even believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in putting your faith and trust in Jesus as their Savior. They look at him as a good man or somebody that is an inspiration to all of us. But there's also things that we have to do and works that we have to be involved in order to get to heaven and enjoy paradise. All of these different cults have different forms of this, and we don't have time to get into all the details tonight, but you know. And those people may be really nice and think that they have an interest or that they love Jesus, and in actuality, they're not following him at all. So here we have all this list. And what do they find out? Jesus says then, very sobering, verse 23, then I will profess or declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity or lawlessness. Being a kingdom citizen requires more than a profession, doesn't it? What does it require? It requires it includes an entire transformation of life. When we trust in Jesus, we're transformed. We're new people. Our desire and love is for Jesus Christ in one form or fashion, and we live to serve him, not ourselves. And so it's more than just trying Jesus out or professing Jesus as a good man. But we are transformed into new people who will be able to live righteous lives with the power of Jesus in our lives and see him one day. And there are those that may try to fake that and may fool us, but Jesus knows. And he'll one day judge those fake citizens. On that day that he refers to there, refers to the day of judgment. And what a wonderful thing, by the way, the true Christians won't be involved in this day of judgment. We'll have already had a judgment where Jesus has discerned and worked through the things that we've done for him, and we'll have received blessings and crowns and all of that. And we may find that some of the things we did for him were meaningless because of the reason that we did it. But the whole point is that Christians will be with God forever, eternity. If nothing else, we get Jesus. We get eternity with him. This judgment is entirely different. This is for sinners that are going to be judged and sent to eternity in hell. And Jesus says at that point, I'm going to tell many, I never knew you. Even with all these mighty works. You know, Satan has the power, let's be honest, to perform mighty works too. Remember the Egyptian sorcerers and how they were able to match God's power, supposedly, for a little while. Pretty soon it was even apparent to them, this power is way beyond what we can do. But Satan has power too. Is it possible that sometimes that false Christians are performing things, doing things with a different power than from Jesus Christ? It's a possibility. In the end, these fake citizens who've been claiming Jesus as their Savior, but knew in their hearts they weren't really following him at all, but didn't want other people to know, Jesus says, no, I renounce you. And it's not that he's saying here that I've never seen you before or I don't know who you are, but he's saying you were never a true follower of me. You looked good to everybody else, but you weren't one of mine. And so he says, depart from me, a declaration of judgment from Jesus Christ himself. We like to look at Jesus many times and see his love and his gentleness and his kindness while he was here on earth, and all of that is wonderful, and all of that is a part of his character. And we praise the Lord for the love that we have in Jesus Christ. But there's another side to Jesus. Read the book of Revelation. Jesus is also the eternal judge that will one day declare judgment upon people for all eternity in a horrible place called hell. And that's what he will do for the fakers, those fake citizens who have not been real. It's sobering as we get to the end of this message, isn't it? To think that this would be among us. Can I encourage you in something then with these truths in mind? Is certainly be vigilant, be diligent. Don't be afraid to check God's word. Not that I promise you, okay, that I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying in any means that you need to check me as a false prophet, but check those that are teaching you. And make sure that what you're hearing is right. Because, you know, we may have a lot of differences in this church. Every person here may think a little bit differently as far as your standards and the principles, and we may not always come to the same agreement on a lot of things, but people, we need to make sure that when it comes to the gospel, that we're all in agreement. Galatians 1, 8 through 9. Paul makes it clear, right? If even we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. And we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. We all need at Village Chapel Baptist Church to be in agreement and committed to being faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What other differences we might have, that is a difference we cannot have. We have to be faithful and committed to the accuracy of the gospel and to be careful for those that would turn people in another direction. So let me ask you this as we finish up. Paul succinctly in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 3, quickly goes through the gospel. And he says this, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And we all here tonight must be able to all assent to that. Do you assent to that? The gospel that Paul preached, the true reality of our faith and trust in Jesus, everyone here together, we need to say, amen. I assent to that. I believe in that. And I won't stray from it. And I'll be careful to look for those that would cause us to stray and mark them and protect those that they would lead astray. The enemy is real, and the consequences are eternal. We're in a battle. Make sure as kingdom citizens that we're committed, faithful servants to the gospel. Lord, thank you for your word, a sobering reality that we always need to be vigil for. But Lord, we need this reminder. Help us to be committed to the gospel above all else, that we would not stray from it, that we would not try to twist it, that we would not try to water it down, but with its full power, preach it, proclaim it, and give it to a world that desperately needs the power of the gospel. Protect us from those that would try to pull us away from you and try to confuse us. And Lord, we will be rejoicing together one day as we bow before you and call you our King and our Lord forever. This we ask in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.